Today, I'm declaring a drought emergency in the state of California because we're facing perhaps the worst drought that California has ever seen since records began being kept about 100 years ago.
Jerry Brown. And yes, we are still reeling from the effects of the polar vortex here in New York and New Jersey. But Californians have their own set of weather problems. This month could be the driest January ever for California, following on 2013 as the driest year on record for the state. That's why the state of emergency declared by the governor there. The prospect of rain is dim, and some are saying that this could shape up to be the worst drought that California has ever seen. New York weather story dwarfed by California climate story. Joining me now to discuss is Lauren Sommer, science and environment reporter for KQED in Northern California, San Francisco. She's been covering the drought. Welcome to WNYC. Hello from New York, Lauren.
Hi, Brian.
So we heard that state of emergency declaration. That was from a week and a half ago. But Californians have been suffering through these conditions really for 3 years, from what I read. How bad is it, and why is it happening, as far as anybody knows?
Yeah, and it's kind of that 3 years that's really key, because this is the third dry year in a row, which means, you know, the state's reservoirs are kind of drawn down, and it really just hasn't rained this year. It's kind of incredible. What's happening is there's this ridge of high pressure just sitting off the coast. It has this name that's kind of a tongue twister. It's called the Ridiculously Resilient Ridge, and it's basically kind of like a linebacker that's out there just blocking storms that would normally be coming our way. So, you know, as you mentioned, we're breaking records, you know, left and right here.
Why is this happening? What I tend to think is that the polar vortex story is about New York's cyclical weather, and California's drought story is more of a global warming transformation story. Is that too strong?
Well, what scientists say is you can't really link one extreme weather event to climate change, but certainly all the science is kind of saying, you know, this is what we're supposed to expect in California. A lot of people are calling it a dress rehearsal for climate change. You know, we're expected to see more droughts, more intense droughts. And the other big issue in the state is that we get a lot of our water supply, about a third comes from the snowpack in the Sierra Nevada mountains. And with climate change, that's expected to shrink because more of it will fall as rain instead of snow. So certainly, you know, this is bringing up a lot of issues for the state about how it's really going to tackle climate change in the future.
Listeners, we have a few minutes for calls. If you have friends or family experiencing the drought in California, or if you're there yourself right now and happen to be listening to us, I know it's early, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692 for our guest, Lauren Sommer, science and environment reporter for KQED in San Francisco, 212-433-9692. If you want to call in, we'll have time for just a few calls before we get to our next guest, Anna Quinlan. So what happens when a drought emergency is declared? We heard the governor there. What exactly changes as a result of that?
Well, a few things change. You know, not a lot changes. It's kind of more of a stamp, a official stamp that kind of goes on the drought. The governor's trying to make it easier for the state to move water around. You know, California has this really complicated plumbing system because almost all of the rain falls in the northern half of the state. So it has to be moved around quite a bit. So he tried to make the rules a little bit easier to do that. That includes relaxing some environmental rules that are in place to protect threatened salmon here in the state. But, you know, we really haven't seen kind of the full effect yet of all the different political battles that are going to start about what should be done and what could be done. And we're starting to see Congress get involved.
And I've read that 80% of the state's developed water supply goes to the agriculture industry. So if there's this bad a drought, how seriously is California's economy, or for that matter, our nation's food supply, threatened by this drought?
Yeah, right now what's happening is a lot of the farmers in the Central Valley are making decisions about whether or not to fallow land. I mean, we have some crops in this state, including orchards, that the water has to go to. You know, those are trees. So they'll end up kind of, you know, fallowing other crops. A lot of people are saying we will see food prices go up. But in terms of the state's economy, it's kind of an interesting story because, you know, 80% of the water you mentioned goes to agriculture. It's a very large industry. It's a multi-billion-dollar industry, but it's still only a few percentage of the state's, you know, overall economy. So, you know, certainly food's a concern about the overall economy. It kind of remains to be seen.
Paul in Morristown, you're on WNYC. Hi, Paul. Thanks for calling.
Hey, good morning. I believe I read that, you know, the century that California was settled and all the farmlands planted was actually an abnormally wet century, and that if you go back geologically and look at things, this is pretty much what California should have expected, and, you know, the whole global weather change may not really be what's happening here. It's more just a natural cycle.
Is that a scientific theory that you've heard before, Lauren? Are you familiar with that?
Yeah, what happens is scientists can go back and look in tree rings to see, you know, going back 500 years and even further, you know, what were the conditions historically? And it's really true, but there were much longer, drier periods when we look back hundreds of years. So I think it's a really interesting policy question. I mean, California's made all these water decisions over the last 150 years. And somebody, you know, said to me the other day, you know, this has been a paradise of wet conditions. So it's kind of a real moment of reckoning here in the state, which is, well, can we really continue with the decisions that were made over the last century?
Kelly in Manhattan, along similar lines, I think. Hi, Kelly. You're on WNYC.
Hi. Yes, thanks for taking my call. I love the show. And I'm a native Californian living in New York. I've been here for about the last 10 years. But I was a child growing up in the 70s and 80s in the Bay Area, Northern California. And, you know, we went through drought then. People weren't able to water their lawns. People weren't able to wash their cars. And it's, as the previous caller said, this is very typical of California weather. We even discussed it in the 70s, looking at tree rings, the same thing. So, but we weren't calling it climate change then.
Yeah, it's an interesting, I mean, the scientists are saying, you know, we can't say definitively that one thing is climate change versus normal conditions because, you know, yes, California is very dry and it does experience these droughts. So I think what people are looking at is kind of the long-term trends with climate change and saying, well, is this what we're seeing right now, could it get worse in the future? And the climate models, what scientists kind of look at to say, well, what conditions, what will they be like a century from now? You know, they are showing that this is going to be something that continues and possibly gets worse.
Of course, you could raise a question about the historic insanity of settling the desert in the first place. It's more Southern California, but still, with such dense population and having to divert the Colorado River and all of that just to get through and be so susceptible to the tendency toward drought. Does anybody question, what are we doing here with millions and millions of people?
You know, I think it's something Californians don't really think about very much, but, you know, it's really true. What is interesting, though, is that, you know, Northern Californians, we kind of tend to blame Southern Californians a little bit for taking the water, quote unquote. It's kind of this old narrative that gets dragged up when there's a drought. Southern California has actually made a lot of strides in water conservation, you know, mostly because they've kind of been forced to based on the fact that most of their water just doesn't come from where they live. So it's an interesting, you know, comparison. You know, Southern Californians have actually done a lot better over since the last drought in terms of conserving water and gaining efficiencies.
And I see that one of Governor Brown's proposed solutions to the drought is to relax water restrictions, which I'm not sure what that means. And is he getting pushback from government officials or environmental groups?
Yeah, I think we haven't quite seen the real kind of fallout of that, but certainly the environmental concerns are huge because, you know, if you can kind of imagine if you were had a dam, you would want to hold the water back, right? You'd want to keep as much of it in the reservoir as possible. But that means the river below the dam is really low, right? It's going to kind of slow to a trickle. And there's fish and there's salmon, threatened salmon in that water. So there's going to be some really tough decisions later this year. You know, it's not, you know, wildlife versus people. You know, everybody is going to be a loser this year is kind of what the officials are saying, but there'll still be some really tough decisions in that regard.
Seth in Jersey City, you lived some of these through some of these California drought regulations.
Yeah, I was out visiting my parents over winter break in San Francisco, and my mom has some lemon trees out back, and they were just all brown and dead. And she said, you know, everybody just has to deal with this. You know, everybody's lawns are dying, and you know, it's just kind of the new way of life there.
Ugh. And I heard they say out there, if it's yellow, let it mellow. If it's brown, flush it down.
Yeah, I heard that one, too.
You heard that one, too. Thank you. And Alan in Brooklyn wants to make the case for this being global warming. Alan, hi.
Hi, Hi, Brian. There were some joking comments by John Stewart last week about how the extreme cold in the East somehow shows that maybe the climate hoaxers are right. I was really upset to hear him say that, because if you look at the entire national weather map, including the Pacific, the giant wedge of warm air from warm Pacific waters pushing up in the west into the Arctic has displaced the normal west-to-east flow of the jet stream over the Arctic downward over the east. It's as if the giant wedge of warm air was acting as a dam that blocks up the cold air flow in the Arctic, and when it finally passes that dam, what comes over is coming over at higher force, higher velocity, and it's tilted downward just like a waterfall. Huh. So we're getting the waterfall of cold Arctic air in the east because there's a very large area of warm air in the Pacific.
The unified theory of climate change and the weather everywhere. Had you heard that one, Lauren, from a science and environment reporter's perspective?
No, I think it's a really interesting year for kind of these questions to come up because, I mean, look around the country. The stories have been really incredible in terms of what people are experiencing. So, you know, year after year, we're kind of seeing these issues come up more and more, I think.
And that's where we leave it on California's drought, the driest January after the driest year in 2013. Lauren Sommer, science and environment reporter for KQED in San Francisco. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer and WNYC. Coming up next, Anna Quinlan on her new novel about leaving New York City for a life in the country. All self-hating Manhattanites will be welcome to call in. Stay with us for Anna Quinlan.